Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It is Sunday, November 8th. We're actually recording on a Sunday again. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is indeed back with me this week. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. I'm here. We had to rearrange because if not, then I'd be missing, I don't know, a couple of these because last Sunday, unfortunately, I had to travel because my grandmother died. And I was in Mexico and I had to go straight to Puerto Rico to be with the family. And then I'm going to San Diego this afternoon. What time? It's 3:30 or something. So I don't know. So I was like, well, I went, Sam, look, we gotta do something. So here I am. What's up?
Condolences on your grandmother, by the way. I was pretty sure that's why you were going to be gone.
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, she was sick for a long time, but still, anyway, when it actually happens, you know, it's still,
definitely.
Still sucks. So
we've got a few topics this time around, we've been trying to be good and discuss these before we start. So let's start with one that was not on my list, but is on Yvonne's list. So let's talk about Windows 7 a little bit, because we have not talked about that. And it's been out officially for, what, a couple weeks now?
Yes. I actually purchased a copy and installed it in a couple of computers.
Okay? I hear it's pretty good.
It is pretty good. I will tell you that the one computer I installed it, you know, I that Windows computer that I had been using to record the show, It had Windows XP, and this computer just ran pathetically. I mean, this is just bad. I mean, as a matter of fact, I stopped using it to record the show at one point because it was just so annoying, and just went back to using my Mac. I just couldn't really stand the damn thing anymore. So I decided to get Windows 7, and since this computer had really no real data or anything of value stored,
you just wiped it.
I just decided to wipe it. Yeah, just screw it. Just delete everything and just install Windows 7. I am recording the show from that computer right now, which is one of the reasons why we had that little sound hiccup, because I had never used a microphone on this computer. So
that was a sound hiccup we started the show, so our users didn't hear it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, but when we were trying to hook up, but I just you couldn't hear me. But the computer is working. This is a 7-year-old PC. Okay, it's not a new by any stretch of the imagination. I had upgraded the amount of memory it's got and put in a new graphics card in order to improve its performance. It's got about 160 gigabyte hard drive, so it's got decent storage. But you know, if you're not going to store any music or anything, it's more than plenty. Here's one thing that's surprising at Windows 7. Computers will go to sleep. Finally.
Oh,
this one does.
Like, it'll go to sleep and wake up again in a way that's predictable and not annoying.
Yeah.
Very good.
Wow. So I guess Microsoft will get its green hat on for saving, I don't know how many billions of kilowatts of computers that don't have to keep running because you don't know how long or how unpredictable wake up. So that's
excellent. That's been one of the things that, you know, when one was used to a Mac laptop and went to a Windows laptop, it was like, what the hell is this thing doing?
Right.
For the most part, I have to say though, my company Mac, they do something strange to it. And one of the things that suffers is sleep, but you know, that's because they do strange things.
Okay, but for the most part, Macs will go to sleep. Well, so now PCs can go to sleep?
Excellent. In general here, the feedback I've gotten is that, you know, Vista, everybody sort of, it came out and people were like, I'm not so sure about this.
Well, and lots Vista of people just skipped put it. Decorations on the same on the same pig. That's all it did.
And whereas a lot of people are saying Windows 7 here is actually a major upgrade has a lot of good things about it. And they say, you know, finally, for the first time in years, Microsoft has put out a product that's potentially worth upgrading to. And like, especially for those people who were sticking on HP because they were afraid of Vista, time to upgrade. And that this
on
is
XP, not HP.
Sorry. XP. I thought I said that, but I, you know, whatever.
No,
anyway, and you know, people are saying that, you know, finally this is something that is once again sort of in the same ballpark, at least, depending on who you ask. It, you know, the actual comparison is different, but once again in the same ballpark as the OS as Apple is putting out.
I installed a printer without having to resort to idiotic procedures. I just like you would on a Mac. I have a network printer here at home. Okay. So I just opened up Connect to Printer. It discovered the printer. I clicked on it, and instead of me having to download a huge downloader or some stupid bullshit or whatever, it said Windows is automatically configuring a print driver for your printer. And that's it. And it connected. I was like, wow. Wow. They finally brought connecting to a printer to the 21st century, you know. I installed, actually, on this computer, OpenOffice.
Okay.
Which I played around with a little bit, so I could do a couple of stuff with documents. It's worked pretty good. Now, there is one thing. I mean, of course, it's not perfect. I have not been able to activate it. It keeps rejecting the stupid activation key the fucking package came with.
Oh, okay. That's good, I guess. Yeah.
It is, yeah. You know,
so they still have this
idiotic activation bullshit. And, you know, I've
so
already
that you can
retyped.
Make sure that it's a legitimate
version. You know what? I know why. The first thing
is
on this
zero and not an
is
O
a
or something.
B, not an 8. Ah.
That would make a difference.
Here we go. Hold on.
I thought you were going to say it was the difference between a zero and an O, because like you still have that occasionally. Although most companies have figured out that you do one or the other.
That looks like an 8.
Okay.
I looked at the G's and 6's. I looked at the, you know, there are actually no zeros on
right,
it.
Right. Like most most companies now avoid O's and zeros in these kinds of numbers for exactly that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Now, let's see if it'll activate now. The first letter is a B, and it looks just like an 8.
So we're now in suspense. Okay.
Let's see now.
Yvonne tries
this product
to activate.
Is verified. Here we go. This might take a few minutes, and it's as it's churning away, let's see if I finally get an activation. And... Oh, boy, this takes a stupidly long time. This still sucks, okay?
Yeah, well, look, the activation thing in general, I mean, first of all, let's say, if this is the only flaw you find, then they've done a pretty kick-ass job. However...
Yeah, no, I gotta give Microsoft credit. You know, they actually released a pleasingly compared to the old crap, a far more pleasing to use software package. Right. You know?
Having said that, I just want to say on activation.
Yes, activation was successful. Yes. There you go.
Excellent.
Okay.
So I just want to say on activation, the thing with that is that this is one of those typical examples of a thing that causes a, you know, the intention is, of course, to make sure people have legitimate copies of Windows and they don't pirate it. But the actual effect is people who are trying to best their best to be legitimate, it's a pain in their ass. People who are going to pirate it, it's not going to stop them at
all. It's not going to stop.
You know, they'll figure if they hadn't figured out a way around this already in the first couple minutes the thing was out, it's going to happen shortly. And, you know, it's not going to stop anybody who's really wanting to pirate it. It's not even going to slow them down. But for the people who are legitimately using it, it's going to be a pain in their ass one way or another because it'll screw up or, you know, you can only activate so many times and you rebuild your computer. Whatever. Who knows what the flaws are of this particular activation scheme, but that's the problem with all activation schemes of that sort, is that you're just turning to people who are trying to do the right thing anyway. You're not.
I went and I bought the Windows 7 Home. That's another thing that's all bullshit, all the different versions, but the Windows 7 Home Premium upgrade for three PCs. Okay.
Right.
Well, I had another. I had a laptop which I had sitting under a desk that I wanted to upgrade, and I'm also planning on upgrade my nephew's computer. So that's three computers. But the one thing about it is just. I don't understand why the hell these damn versions. It's just really annoying. But
yep. Okay.
But hey, considering those are the only complaints I've had so far, it's not bad.
Yep. Good job, Microsoft. I won't be trying it anytime soon because I don't have any of those types of machines around to try either at work or at home. But good job, Microsoft. It sounds like they've actually put out a decent product. And which is good for competition in the industry as a whole. Now Apple's going to have to kick ass on their next release, and we'll see how it goes.
I think that one of the reasons why Microsoft got so pushed into this is because precisely what you just said. You know, competition. I mean, Apple went out and launched a product and has been taking share and generating a lot of positive reviews and feedback and all this stuff, and they've been getting trashed. And that competitive pressure pretty much made Microsoft have to take notice and do shit. You know, we can't just, you know, ship a turd in a box and, you know, expect that everybody will buy it.
Yep. Okay. On that, we're over for this segment. So let's take a break and we'll be back in a moment.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, so we're back. We had a couple of things that were on, I guess they were sort of on both of our lists. We had, once again, this week, for the first time in a while, I guess, we had a couple of these shooting cases where somebody goes out and, you know, just goes to some public place and starts shooting. We had one in Texas and one
Orlando.
In Florida, I believe. So,
yep.
You want to give some background on these and we can chat a bit?
Well, I mean, the one in Texas was a soldier, a psychiatrist, who was about to be deployed to Afghanistan. The guy had been in the military working as a physician for a number of years. The military had paid for his physician training, and the guy was not too keen on going to Afghanistan. One additional thing that he was. His religion was conflicting him. There were people saying that because he was Muslim. And somehow, which I'm still a little bit confused, the fact that he was upset about being deployed and conflicted and all that made him decide to go out and shoot a whole bunch of the other soldiers instead of blowing his brains out. I still don't understand that part. But that was his strategy. The other guy is a guy in Orlando who happens to be, I understood, from Puerto Rico, who went and had been laid off from this job. And he hadn't worked at the company for that long either, but he got laid off from the job and he went there and just was blaming them for destruction of his life. And just decided to start taking it out, you know, resolve it by just shooting a whole bunch of people.
Hey, that's, you know, that's so, always good.
Apparently, they're saying that he was mentally ill.
No, really?
Apparently. Well, but he was really, you know, not.
You know, because generally, I think the people who decide to go around into public places and shoot as many people as they can are the paragon of sanity.
Well, but you know, but I mean, in the sense of having a real mental disease instead of just being you know, just being stupid. I mean,
okay,
you know, But be that as it may, I mean, I don't know. So the guy, apparently, he had been divorced in the last year. He'd been divorced, he'd gone bankrupt, and he'd been laid off, and the guy just, you know, just decided to, he couldn't take it anymore. So he decided to shoot some people to take out his frustrations, I guess. You know. Yeah, so that's what happened.
The only other interesting thing about these two is, I guess, I haven't checked today to see if this is still the case, but they both lived, at least initially, right? I think one of them was still in intensive care.
They're both alive.
They're both alive, yep. Which is unusual for these kinds of situations. I mean,
I know. It's very weird. I mean, I thought for sure the Texas guy was dead.
Usually they either shoot themselves or the police shoot them.
Some news reports said the Texas guy was dead, but it was reported correctly that he wasn't.
So, I don't know. I mean, one of the things you always get after these kinds of things is people start talking about gun control and, you know, how can we keep
it? It was
guns?
A military base. What the hell? It's full of guns.
You know,
what the gun control going to really help?
We should not be letting our army have guns.
Right.
You know, that's just wrong, you know. They should use silly string.
I don't think that gun control could have helped all that much, in that.
I mean, it always prompts these kinds of discussions, regardless, you know. And you know, even in the case of the military, it starts to go into the lines of, okay, how can we screen these people better? We shouldn't be letting unstable people in here. Of course, this guy was the shrink. But, mm-hmm. You know, I don't see that really gets us... That kind of conversation really gets us anywhere. The reality is that people who are unstable and want to do stuff will find a way regardless. You know, you put restrictions on guns, they'll either find the way around restrictions or they'll figure out how they want to do what they want to do with explosives or knives. You know? So I don't know. I'm not a big fan of, you know, saying, oh, we
look, I do believe that not having that many guns out on the street actually does help reduce.
And look, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of these nuts who decides that they want to
a gun in every room.
A gun in every room and open carry, and you know, there's a person who I'm not directly acquainted with. I'm not like friends with this guy or something, but I know people who work with him. Who is one of the types who really is into pushing the limits of Second Amendment law and making sure that he is, you know, standing up for his rights in every way. And one of the ways he does that is, Washington is one of the states where there are a lot of these where, you know, you have to have a permit for concealed carry. But open carry, you can just do whatever. So he runs around his neighborhood with a gun on his belt.
Mm-hmm.
And at least once, you know, his neighbors have called the cops on him saying, my God, there's a guy running around the neighborhood with a gun on his belt, you know, and then, you know, the police have, you know, done a big manhunt to try to find him. And then eventually he's in his house looking out the window saying, oh, look, there's a big manhunt for something. And then he realizes, oh, it might be me. So he goes out and talks to the cop, you know, and of course he's like, I'm perfectly legal in my rights and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, he might be, but he's still being an asshole, you know,
an asshole.
All he's doing is scaring people. Yeah, he's making a point, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Having said that, yeah, I'm still not one of the big, you know, let's really, really crack down on gun control, even though I'm the kind of person who, yeah, I don't want to be around people that are carrying their guns around all the time, even though I have been in the past. I don't want one in my house. I don't ever want to shoot one, you know, but I still think that, you know, heavy-handed restrictions aren't really helpful. And of course, you know, I'm one of the ones who also goes back to, you know, thinking the real purpose, you know, and I know there's a lot of debate on this and people looking at historical stuff and can interpret it different ways, blah, blah, blah. You know, forget all that. I'm one of the ones who interprets the real reason for having a Second Amendment is making sure that the general populace has the ability to rise up against the government if the need arises. And of course, given our modern situation, that means I should not only not be restricted from having guns, I should be able to have fighter planes and nukes. because that's the only way I can really have the resources to rise up a gift from my government if I need to. You know,
so you want your own personal nuclear device.
You know, having one or
just
two,
just like the Iranians,
having one or two in my basement would not be, you know, it would make me feel safe. Not really.
Okay.
Not really, but
wow. Are you telling me
you don't want a nuke? Come on. How about a tank?
Not particular.
How about a tank?
It'd be a little bit difficult to park.
F-15?
That'd be cool.
Okay.
F-15. I could take an F-15, you know. You get to San Diego where I'm traveling today a hell of a lot faster, I'll tell you what.
You know, if you were going to do that, you should get one of those SR-71s or something.
Yeah, they did the record for crossing the U.S. What was it? 30 minutes? 32 minutes.
I forget, but it was insanely fast.
Yes, it was around half an hour. We flew cross country in about half an hour. Not bad. Tell you what, that'd be awesome.
Okay. On that note, as I gear up to set up my my arsenal, let's take another break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Boing, boing, boing. Boing, boing, boing. Boing, boing, boing. In the following segment, Yvonne and I talk briefly about the impending execution of the DC sniper, whose name was John Allen Muhammad. Just after we recorded it and before now, he was indeed executed November 11th, 2009 at 2:11 UTC. That would be November 10th at 9:11 p.m. Eastern time. So just that piece of follow-up information. And now on to our segment, which was recorded before that happened. Boing, boing, boing. Boing, boing, boing. Boing, boing, boing.
Okay. So actually, just a quick transitional note, since we were talking about shooting people. Another thing I've noticed in the news is that what was his name? Malvo.
Lee Malvo.
The guy from
the DC sniper.
DC snipers. Was it 2002? This was going on somewhere around there.
I think so. Yeah.
Anyway, for those of you who don't remember, you know, there was a period of time in the DC metropolitan area where, yeah, basically, you know, people were, you know, sitting at a gas station pumping gas or otherwise going about their business.
They would get shot.
And just all of a sudden, boom, they'd be shot
dead,
you know. And for several weeks, you know, this was going on where, like, you know, at first it was every couple of days, and then it got more frequent. Just in some random area, somewhere in the general Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, sometimes in Maryland, sometimes in Virginia, sometimes in D.C., boom, somebody just shot randomly. And it took them several weeks to catch this guy. It was actually two guys, an older man and a teenager, who had, you know, basically taken an old car, hollowed out, you know, adjusted it so that they could, like, lie down in the trunk and have a little hole that they could stick their gun out of. And so they'd park where they had a view of public spaces like gas stations and schools and stuff. And, you know, they'd line themselves up, they'd shoot, and then they'd leave. And they were they were picking random spots, and this went on for several weeks. And I forget how many people they killed, like 20 or something.
It was a good number of people. I mean, people in the D.C. area were fucking freaked out. I mean, yeah, you know.
And I remember talking at the time about how, you know, if you're talking, you know, it ended up, this case was just these two guys. But if you're talking, quote unquote, terrorism, this had a huge effect, you know, because people were starting to be afraid to go fill up their gas tanks, you know, and how people were living their day-to-day lives was starting to get affected because you never knew when some guy might just come out and shoot you. And, you know, I was just saying, you know, if there was a, you know, terrorist group who really wanted the terror side as opposed to the one big explosion 9/11 kind of thing, you know, have 20 people around the country just randomly doing this in different cities, you know. But anyway, they caught the guy. The teenager is in jail for life, I believe. But the older guy got the death penalty and is scheduled to be executed, I think, this coming week. And so, you know, the I don't know. This
there are 15 people I'm looking at here on
So
yep, 15.
So where this gets me, and you know, Yvonne, you and I don't believe have discussed this on a show in a while, but the death penalty, and thoughts on that, because, you know, here's the thing. On one hand, okay, what this guy was doing was unquestionably horrible. He's been convicted. You know, the evidence was pretty solid. Nobody's really going around saying, hey, this guy might have been innocent. You know, and so, you know, he's been sentenced to death. It's probably going to happen. But in general, the counter argument on the death penalty is, of course, first of all, that it's sort of a revenge thing as opposed to a, you know, anything that's actually going to do much to prevent future crime, although there might be some deterrent effect in some cases, but a lot of things aren't necessarily deterred. And there is a relatively high rate where people are convicted unjustly. I mean, it's not like half or anything, but there, you know, there have been numbers of cases over the years, especially with the advent of DNA evidence, where people who have been on death row have later been discovered to have been innocent all along. So I'll tell you where I come down. And I think you're in a different spot, but I've always been anti-death penalty. I don't think it is.
So am I.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd said, okay. I thought you'd said in certain cases you thought it was legitimate. Okay.
No.
Well, then we're not going to have a good debate. But yeah, no, I mean, I've always felt that, you know, in general, if killing people is wrong, the government shouldn't be doing it. It's somewhat hard to apply that principle to the case of wars, but certainly to the case where you've got someone, you've got them locked up, they're under your control, they're not going to be causing additional damage, then I don't think the government should be in the business of killing these people. And I understand it may be more expensive to house them in prison for the rest of their life or whatever, but I just don't think it's a civilized thing to be going off and killing them. I do understand the people who say, well, if it was your, you know, father, son, daughter, wife, you know, who was killed by this guy, you might feel differently. And I don't know.
Maybe you're right.
Maybe I would, but that doesn't mean that I think that should be the general rule for society. You know, I mean, if it was, you know, if it was my, you know, father, son, daughter, wife, you know, I might want to kill the guy myself, but that doesn't make it right.
No, I agree with you. I mean, one thing that is, look, our legal system is not perfect enough to I believe, in order to provide such a definitive sentence. You know, as you've said, there's been a lot of cases of people incorrectly convicted. And to be quite honest, I mean, given that we're not, you know, we're not that perfect, how could we apply such a definitive sentence to people? I also agree with what you said. I mean, I think it's a revenge thing for the most part. I don't think it really works that much as a deterrent.
By the way, whether or not it works as a deterrent is something that you can, you know, probably determine empirically, like by actually looking at, you know, at historical statistics and various things. You can probably actually determine that. But I'd say this is similar to the torture debate, where whether or not it works or not is a somewhat tangential question. And I would argue that even if it worked, it's still wrong and we shouldn't do it.
I agree. I'm with you on this. I'm with you 100%.
Okay, so I was hoping we'd have a nice little debate here because we disagree.
No, sorry.
Turns out
No, I totally agree with you.
So, you know, if somebody out there listening wants to take the other point on this debate, let us know and we'll have you on the show and we can have a little death penalty debate and you can tell us all the reasons why it's good to kill people.
Right.
But in the meantime, let's take another break.
In the meantime, Sam has been bored by my lack of challenging his point of view.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't you yell or scream or say kill
I'm
the
sorry,
bastards?
I'm sorry, I totally agree with you. I think what you said is totally sensible. What the hell you want me to do?
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back in a minute. This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel. Plissage by Jenna Cardinale. My skin is itself a mysticism, and the voice you hear inside these rooms you gave me isn't cursing or casting spells. I earned them after you earned me. With a softer voice and chin jutted, I earned the street too. These corn, silky babies barely amaze, but they remain, remainders. Their brothers don't recognize them, but your wife knows. They are mine, mostly yours. For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday. Okay. We're back, and I'll make one other note. During the break, I was coughing. Yeah, I've sort of on Thursday night, you know, we were out doing something or other. Amy was at some activity, and while she was at the activity, Brandy and I went and, like, you know, sat at a coffee shop for a while and blah, blah, blah. And I was feeling fine there. On the drive home from that, all of a sudden I felt like I was hit by a ton of bricks, you know, and I started feeling like crap. You know, within the space of an hour, I went from feeling fine to feeling like, you know, I really did not want to be vertical anymore. And, you know, so and it was just sort of achy and, you know, and a headache and feeling a little bit dizzy, that kind of stuff. And, you know, and Friday morning, I still wasn't feeling quite right, but I wasn't feeling really bad. So I'm like, yeah, I'll go to work. I went to work, and sort of all day I was sort of in that low level, you know, I'd rather be at home lying down, but I couldn't outright say, okay, I feel sick. And, you know, sort of it's continued that way throughout the weekend. And, like, just within the time that Yvonne and I have been talking, I've started to cough a little bit, and that's the beginning. I wasn't coughing really before. So I don't know, you know, it's probably
Well, don't get me sick now.
Yeah, it's probably swine flu. I'll be dead next week, you know?
Yeah, and it's traveling through the internet, so.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. There was a nice infographic I saw posted that had where was it? I think I saw it on the blog for Mint, mint.com, actually.
Mint?
Mint. You know Mint, don't you?
Mint? No.
It's like Quicken, but web-based, and actually Quicken recently bought them. And anyway, they have a blog where they, you know, post various, you know, home finance related stuff. But anyway, they posted a link to an infographic on swine flu stuff or H1N1. And one of the little bits that I actually saw linked from elsewhere, and I wasn't planning on talking about this, but anyway, just had a little chart that basically related, you know, where you've been getting your news about swine flu H1N1 to your level of panic. You know, so it was like, you know, you watch the major news media, oh my God, we're all going to die! You know, and you read the Wikipedia page, a little bit less. You read the CDC pages, a little bit less than that. And and then, you know, and its last category was common sense. And it was sort of like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know, anyway, but I think I'm getting sick. I thought you know, it was getting better. Like, I thought the worst of it had been, like, Friday, and it was getting better, but now I'm starting to feel worse again, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, well, you're going to be fucked. Oh,
yeah, well. Probably. Anyway, so...
Can you go to San Diego for me? I don't want to go to San Diego. Can you go?
Yeah, San Diego's an interesting place, I guess. I've never been to San Diego. I have some relatives
I haven't
there.
Been either, but I just don't want to go on another fucking plane again. Can I just...
You could take the train.
I don't want to... Okay, I don't want to travel away from home this week. How's that?
Okay. So,
whether it be by plane, train, automobile, bicycle. You know... Just don't give a shit.
You know, I never saw that movie.
You didn't?
No, I've never seen that movie. I've seen, like, clips from it, but I've never actually seen the movie.
It's funny. You should watch that.
So, anyway, let's talk about something serious for the next couple minutes. We haven't done in a while an economy update, and there was a lot of people hyperventilating about unemployment numbers this week. What are your thoughts?
Thoughts are very simple. People are idiots, for the most part. The unemployment is a lagging indicator, okay? And as such a lagging indicator, well, it's what it's showing is that unemployment has been creeping up, yes, but the reality is that it's a late indicator. I mean, that percentage that's going up also includes people who have declared themselves underemployed and other things. But the number of new jobless claims, which I think is a more important indicator, was significantly down. So all the hyperventilating about unemployment, there were a whole bunch of commentators complaining that the Obama administration has failed miserably in preventing unemployment.
The graph that always gets shown around is the one that the Obama administration had prepared a graph that showed unemployment without the stimulus, unemployment with the stimulus, of course showing it less with
course,
the stimulus.
Of course,
the actual numbers are higher than both of those curves.
Of course, since everybody is such a perfect predictor of the future, I mean, we could have... those numbers are going to be different. I mean, who the hell thought that the numbers were going to be exactly what they were?
Well, of course, the spin that people always try to put on that graph is, look, the stimulus not only didn't help, it made it worse.
I think that all those people that say that are either lying to themselves and acting, or they're just idiots.
I don't know if I've heard anybody explicitly make that argument about it making it worse. However, that's implied.
Oh, no, I have.
It's implied every time they show that graph.
Oh, I have. I've heard people explicitly saying,
Not that they shouldn't show the graph. And I mean, it's a good graph. It's interesting information. It's just the implied interpretation of it. Exactly.
Go ahead. Idiotic. When you throw that kind of the one thing about, of course, a stimulus helped create jobs. Now the question isn't so much whether it's helped create jobs or not. The different question is: was the money spent wisely? Will we get are those jobs gonna help in the long term? Was the cost of the money that we spent on generating those jobs sensible? Now that you can debate.
For instance, I've seen numbers on the Cash for Clunkers program that people have been passing around, basically showing that almost everybody who got that money would have bought the car anyway. So you weren't actually generating that many new purchases.
I think that's a bunch of bullshit.
And then if you take the new purchases that were generated and divide that by the cost, it comes out to some really big, huge number.
That is horseshit. Okay. Sales of autos surged to the highest level in I don't know when. And after the program ended, they collapsed again. This thing about saying that these people would have bought the cars anyway is horseshit. It's horseshit. Look at the sales data, for Pete's sake. Okay?
Now, by the way, no one was saying all of them. They're just a significant portion of the people would have.
Even a significant portion. Look at the percentage sales surge. There is no way. Let me tell you something. If you owned a piece of shit car and you've been schlepping it around for 10 years, okay, in the middle of the worst recession, that's when you were planning to get a new car? Really? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, really? Come on. I mean, that's bullshit. The reason they went out and got the car was because the money, the extra money, was there. If they that money wouldn't have been there, they would have not gotten the car.
So anyway, you think it's basically the same situation where we've had before, where we're in a slow recovery, jobs are lagging. It'll be a while longer till jobs catch up, but.
The companies are going to take a little bit. They're going to see first their profits improve. They're going to see their numbers stabilize before they commit to hiring people. It's a very simple thing. I mean, people are not just going to rush out just because they saw a little bit of an improvement. It's always lagging.
So let me ask this. Of the stimulus money that was approved, there's a very large amount of it that has not yet actually been spent. Is this a case where, you know, by the time it gets spent, it's not really needed anymore, in which case why are
we because I think one of the main focus of a lot of that stimulus money was to generate some jobs. And so the fact that this will probably prime the pump in the job generation over the next 12 months. So no, I think it's it'll be reasonable to do this. So
okay. Let's take another break, and we'll be back for, I believe, our final segment in just a minute. Am I counting right? One. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. Our final segment in just a moment. We'll be back. This is a break. Oh yes, this is a break. This is a break because no one gave me any suggestions. I told you. I warned you. So this is a break. This is a wonderful break. A wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes. This is a break. Break. Yes. This is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break. Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over. Okay, so Yvonne, you have a choice at this point. I will give you a menu of possible topics. One, the one-year anniversary of the election. Two, mm-hmm. Android 2.0 and the Droid phone.
Let's go with a Droid.
Okay, yeah, I was going to give you a couple more choices, but let's go with the Droid.
Okay, let's go with a Droid. I heard the Droid earlier, and I had been on Droid. Let's go Droid.
Okay, so we will save talking about laser-etched fruit for another time.
Yes.
Okay. So, anyway, the Droid, Android 2.0 came out. The first phone that's using it is the Droid, which is on Verizon. Is it Verizon?
Yes.
And so all of the reviews that I've been reading about this thing basically say it pretty much kicks ass. It's a very good phone. It potentially gives iPhone the run for its money in terms of functionality provided. There are, of course, a few differences, and depending on who you talk to, they'll go one way or the other on that choice. At this point, I'm all set on my Apple stuff. I'm not going to be switching anytime soon.
Let me ask you a question. This is something that came up again with this stupid phone coming out.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have you met in the last, months, number of months, whatever, last 12 months, who actually have an extra battery for their phone in their pocket? Say, you're going around, oh, my battery died. Let me pop in the other battery.
I have not seen that. I'll be honest. I have not
seen that. Why the fuck? And I haven't seen anybody do this in 10 years. Why the fuck do all reviewers of phones, oh, well, and you can't change the battery, when you're, during the thing. They talk about the iPhone, and I'm like, show me who the hell
Well, I'll tell you. It's because the people...
has an extra battery.
It's because the people who review phones use them in a very different way than normal people. You know, they will go and they will spend the entire day futzing with the phone, you know, checking out all the features and stuff, and it'll run out halfway through the day, and they'll have to plug it into charge, and they'll be like, damn, it would be nice if I could change the battery. You know, just like the people who are complaining about the same thing with laptops are often using them in very different ways than the average use case. Although I can see that being more relevant in certain cases. But anyway, you know, is a changeable battery an okay thing? I remember sometimes in the past changing batteries. Have I missed the fact that I couldn't do that in my iPhone? Not really. Have I wished it would retain a charge a bit longer? Yes.
Sure.
Are there solutions out there? Like, you know, when my phone was having problems last week, one of the things I was looking at was, you know, basically an iPhone case.
Past?
Oh, you haven't been looking at my blog posts? Look at my blog. You can catch all up on what's happening with my phone.
Okay.
One of the things I was looking at was a couple companies make essentially an iPhone case that has a built-in battery that gives you an extended life. That basically acts like you're plugging in your phone and you can double your battery with that. And so for people who really need that, there's a solution. Anyway, back to Droid. Basically what I'm...
Let me just say this. I did figure out one reason why on a Windows mobile phone you do need to remove a battery. Because, honestly, it's the only way to really reset the phone.
Yes. I'll be honest. When I had my Trio, that was the case as well. Like, the interaction I had with the battery was that a couple of times a day I had to reboot the phone.
I had to pull out the fucking battery in order to reboot the thing.
Exactly.
So, yes. So it is a design necessity in a Windows mobile phone to be able to remove the battery, because otherwise you can't fucking reset the piece of shit.
Anyway.
And I have a Windows mobile phone, so I am not, you know, I live with this turkey. Okay?
So Android... it's got a lot of cool things. Last time on the podcast, I talked about its navigation thing, which has a lot of game-changing things. But in general, Android is open source, so the phone makers can make changes. Other people can make changes and innovate. They have an app store kind of thing, but it's not moderated like Apple's. Like, you can go out and make your app and make it available and without necessarily having to go through that if you want. There's a lot of flexibility there. Android 2.0 apparently fixed a lot of the things that made people hesitant about the first version of the phone. And people are saying it kicks ass. And another thing because it's open, because Google isn't tying this to hardware, they're making it available as a platform, there are a lot of mobile phone makers that are using this. And also, Android isn't limited to being a mobile phone OS either. It's intended as a lightweight OS in general, so it can be used in potentially bigger devices as well. It could be used in netbooks, it can be used in all kinds of other things. And so, basically people are saying, hey, you know, this may be the next thing in Google's grand strategy that starts really making some cash, in addition to AdSense, because most of Google's other efforts, you know, haven't really become cash cows yet. But people are saying, you know, Android has a lot of potential here, because one of the things it's also doing is it's driving very tight integration with Google's properties. So, you know, this phone is tightly integrated with Gmail. It's got integration with Google's Office applications, Google's Calendar, all of the various Google properties are being integrated with this thing. The ones that aren't already will be. There's, you know, data going back and forth to the mothership on all kinds of things. There's lots of this stuff is just in the cloud. So this is potentially, if adoption ramps up on this, this is tying lots of people to Google in the same way that, say, iTunes and the iPod tied people to Apple's music sales and then sucked them into eventually looking at buying Macs as well. You know, so this is, you know, It's looking like a really big move for Google, and it's looking pretty positive.
Well, let me ask a question. Have you tried the Droid phones?
I have not seen one of these in person yet.
Even the Android 1.0 phone. You tried the
I never actually saw one in person, I believe. Or if I did, I've used one.
My father went, and because he's a T-Mobile subscriber, he was acting like a little child and tell me, I want an iPhone. I said, no.
You're on the
like,
wrong network.
On the wrong network anyway, and I'm like, I want an iPhone, I don't care, change me network. I'm not fucking paying the stupid, forget it, he's trying to screw me. Anyway, so he went and somehow finagled to get the Google phone, okay? Mm-hmm. He got that. I've used it a little bit. I don't like it that much.
Well, see, here's the thing. The reaction for most people for the first version was kind of like what you said. There were some hardcore geeks liked it, but most people were like, okay, it's whatever. But everything I'm reading though says that 2.0 is a very significant upgrade and makes it much, much more closer to being on par with the iPhone. That, you know, depending on who you talk to, they'll might even say it surpasses the iPhone in some ways. But definitely,
I'm sure it does. I don't doubt that.
I think one of the questions here is going to be what's the adoption rate? And I mean, you know, because okay, you're gonna have certain people who get it because that's what their carriers offer, and they can't get iPhones. Until iPhone starts being available on multiple carriers, which rumors are anytime within the next year. You've got some of those.
Well, people. I mean, that's only the case in the U.S. and the rest of the world.
I know. You've got. Although in most countries it's still limited to a couple carriers, but it depends on the country. And you've got some geeks who are into it because, you know, it's open source and you can fiddle with it and you can do all that kind of stuff. But the question is there going to be, you know, something that makes it have the kind of buzz and sexiness and makes everybody and their mother say, ooh, I need one. You know, I mean, Brandy's mom was here visiting the baby a couple weeks ago and, like, couldn't get her hands off Brandy's iPhone the whole time. She was playing games on it and checking it out. I think she thinks they're a little bit overpriced. Or actually, she thinks the service that goes with it is overpriced.
$99 now.
No, I think she thinks the service that goes with it is overpriced.
I can understand that.
AT&T's plans are sucky.
You got to get the beta plan on the thing. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Anyway, but... You know, and you hear like, even people who don't have iPhones are like, ooh, iPhone. Should I get an iPhone? Are you going to get that kind of buzz about, you know, these Android devices? And I don't know. I see a lot of buzz among tech geeks. I have yet to hear someone who's not a tech geek say, what about the Droid? You know, and maybe it's still early, you know.
Well, at least, they are generating a buzz, but we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, so. They're generating a buzz in the tech community. A lot of people who have tried it and used the new 2.0 version as opposed to the original version are saying that it's actually pretty damn good. You know, I wouldn't mind checking it out at some point. Is it going to make me switch? No. And I'll tell you why. There are a couple reasons now. Someone pointed who was it, Gruber maybe, I forget, somebody pointed out, oh, it's Scoble, it was probably Scoble, anyway, pointed out that at this point, to switch, if you are an iPhone user and you are contemplating switching, it is not just about do they make a better device, it is not just about switching networks, even because of the App Store, it is now about duplicating all of your apps that you use. Because everybody's individual phone is, you know, my iPhone and somebody else's iPhone aren't actually providing the same functionality because we're going to have a different suite of applications that we use on a regular basis. So, like, you know, on my particular phone, I've probably got, you know, 15 or 20 apps that I use, you know, every single week. And I've probably got a bunch of others that I use occasionally here and there. And yeah, some of them are games that it doesn't matter too much. But other ones are ones that I actually, you know, first of all, some of the games I might miss and I would be like, oh man, but it doesn't have that game. But, you know, even other stuff like, you know, everything from the built-in stuff like how I interact with the mail, which is potentially easily replaceable, to, you know, oh, okay, I've got an app that I use to interact with my bank. I've got an app that I use to, you know, check this. And I have another app that I use for that. And you know, at that point it becomes, in order for me to switch, you have to not just provide some of that, you have to provide all of that. And that's not dependent not just on the phone, but on the suite of applications that's available to it and how good they are. And it makes... You know, Apple's done it again in that they've generated a lock-in factor here, where once you get hooked on one of these things and you really start using it,
it makes
switching hard. And you know, all I can say is Apple knows what they're doing here. Now, of course, in the first iteration, they resisted the independent apps like this, but you know, they figured out the power of it pretty damn quick. So, I don't know. We'll see. Well, Google's definitely one to watch on here because there's a lot of potential here, and it's not just on phones. There's potential
for
other devices, too.
And don't discount Microsoft on this either. I will tell you that Microsoft is launching a completely new phone OS in the next 12 to 18 months as well.
Didn't they just launch one, like, recently, and it sucked?
They launched an interim upgrade, as Steve Ballmer mentioned, basically, because the other one was taking too long, they did an interim upgrade on the current OS.
Okay.
You know, basically to try to fix some of the most egregious problems with their fucking piece of shit OS. So
okay. So watch.
As you can see, I'm a very satisfied customer of their
watch
OS.
Google. They're doing a lot of interesting things, not just with just this phone operating system, by the way, but with a bunch of other stuff too. Basically, they're trying all kinds of stuff, and they'll see what sticks. And something's got to stick. But they're doing all kinds of interesting
stuff. Because they're
good
ideas. They're not just throwing junk out there. I mean, throwing out some good ideas. I mean, you know.
No, agreed. But my point is they're all over the place. They are
all over the place.
They're doing things with phones. They're doing things with telephony. They're doing this. They're doing that. And I'm not saying that any of those are bad ideas. Some of them will work out. Some of them won't. But the thing is. You know, like
how to make money on them, and
but one of these things eventually is going to stick in the money making way. Like almost all of them are working out pretty well in terms of being cool services and good for users. The question is, which one of them will end up making money like AdSense did, or AdSense does, and you know, I don't know, but. They're trying so many things in so many different areas. Some of these are going to stick. You definitely watch Google. They're doing some interesting stuff. Anyway.
Okay. All right. On that note.
We're past time.
We're
time
done.
To shut up. So thanks, everybody, for joining us yet again. Send comments to ablesmay@ablesmay.com or post on ablesmay.com when I announce the show. Tell all your friends to listen all the time. We had a bunch of extra users from those Android 2.0 phones, but I think they've mostly calmed down now that the launch has happened. But anyway, tell your friends, have people listen in, and send us those comments. You know, blah blah blah. Thanks, blah blah blah. I'm gonna go get sick now and spend the next week coughing. So
and I'm gonna go pack a bag so I can fucking get out of here. So
okay, everybody.
Flight's 3:30.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Talk to you next week.
All right.
Okay. See you.
It's a wrap. Okay.
Have a good trip to San Diego.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.